Tape number 2, side 1, November 12, 1996, interviewer Lisa Loeb. We left off with the liberation and your way out on January 16th when the Russians liberated you. You last mentioned the fact that you were out of the camp and looking for some place to go to.
We were walking out of the camp to hold the girls, and I got this. There was a colony where the Germans who lived on the colony. Before you go into the camp, there was a German colony where the bosses, meisters, the bosses were living, the living quarters of the German staff. So they ran, the Germans ran. So whatever they left, we girls went in, they picked clothing to put on. So since I came
was
out...
Was it a house or was it a
colony,
whole
colony?
A whole colony.
A colony,
yes. And they had left. They had run
they
away?
Left. Yeah, they left. They took everything, but they left some schmatters, Girls, whatever we saw, we took it. Something to wear.
Yeah.
But then I find not much, so we had a little bit clothing. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
I took most, Only thing I found is a... A washcloth, you put on your hands, there was sugar. Sugar was a can of sugar, so I filled the washcloth, a dirty washcloth with sugar. I never saw sugar in all these years.
Yeah.
So I had sugar to eat.
Mm-hmm.
With this...
Did it agree with you?
I didn't get heartburn. In the can water, I carried in the latrine, spilled on my dress. So I had a ice compress.
Oh my.
On my dress.
Yes.
Ice.
Yes.
A ice patch with a blanket and like this. We walked out, skin and bone, on the colony.
Yes.
And I took that little thing with sugar and I went looking for quarters. Where do I go? It was, tragic comedy, like to say. Finally, we found an empty building which the Nazis, the SS, occupied. Do the wall. I said, this is a nice place. Let's get up, make ourselves comfortable. So we took a room. There were 5 girls there. We took rooms and we went out, looking for something to eat. The Polish families, they gave us some bread or whatever. After living there about a week or so, we were glad we got found this. And all of a sudden, this Russian major comes in. He said that this is going to be a hospital for wounded Russians to get out. So again, all of us start crying, where we go? So they ask us where we come from. I say, we come from the Nazi camp. We were in a camp, in the forced labor camp. What did you do in the camp? I made bullets. You made bullets to shoot our soldiers? I said, no, I didn't make bullets. I made bullets because it was a forced labor camp. I had to work. If not, I would get shot. I had to work. I did my job to work to make whatever it is. I made a lot of mess there, but that's all I could do. So finally, we begged him, to let us stay there. Give us a room or something. I found a small room, gave us a room under the condition we had to work in the hospital. And we brought the wounded soldiers in. We had to work as like nurses. So we got, food, very greasy barley, whatever they gave us, we had to do our job, we worked also hard. And then some of the girls said, you want to go back, see how our hometown looks? I said, no, I don't want to go. I knew my father died in camp, my mother went to Tarbinka, we knew when I was in camp. They told us that Shidloviets, all Shidloviets is going to Tarbinka, nothing left no more. Shidloviets is you and I.
And they all went to Treblinka, the ones that were left behind.
All of them. This they told us to come. Not so far. Then some Poles came to work to the factory too, but they came from home.
Yes.
We marched from the barracks to the factory, to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
We slept in the barracks and marched by guard to the working place. But they went home. So they told us. They took all the Jews to the cattle wagons and they took them all. Shidloviets is just no Jews left. So I knew that. I said, I don't want to go home and see the Poles. I don't want to see them. The girl said, I still want to go home and see how it looks. They went home. From the forest came out Poles, and they beat them out black and blue. They took away all the stuff that they found in the German colony, took everything away from them. Because this was to carry the clothing.
Yes.
And they went to Shidlovyets, and they arrived Shidlovyets with nothing. There were still a couple Jews left, there were 50, which they came after the liberation to look for relatives.
I see.
So the Poles came in, and they said, if you're not going to leave here, we're going to do what Hitler didn't finish. So they left. The girls came back to Częstochowa.
Where you were.
She said, you were smart. You didn't want to go. I said, so far my mind tells me, and I listen to my mind, I was rescued once. And that's the second time I don't need to get beat up from the Poles.
Right.
I didn't go back to Poland.
Mm-hmm. How long did you stay in this place and play nurse?
In Poland?
In this place.
In Poland, I had a cousin too.
Yes.
A cousin, he was newly wed, had a baby, an infant, or girl. And they were all wealthy, very wealthy people.
Where did they live?
In Skarżysko also. So our city, Skarżysko.
Is that where
city.
We... it's not Częstochowa.
No, Skarżysko, the Hasak, where the Hasak is.
Oh, where the Hasak is.
It's where the city, Skarżysko is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they knew that what to expect. They gave the baby away to a Polish woman, and they gave her everything they had. They were wealthy people to rescue the child. If they came back alive, they wouldn't take it away. The parent died, and they never came back, but a cousin, one of my cousins survived. And he was in the Russian army. He came and wanted to take the baby. The girl was already a couple years old.
Yes.
He wanted to take her out. That woman didn't tell her that she was Jewish. She looked like a Jewish girl, black hair, black eyes. And my cousin in the army came, and he wanted to take her away. She didn't want to give up. She said, only thing you can do is marry me, then you will be a father to your niece. He didn't want to marry her. She was a nurse. So
well, she was not a Jewish woman.
No, Polish.
Yes. But she took good care of the child.
She raised the baby.
Yes.
She didn't have children of her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she hid the baby as hers.
Mm-hmm.
She moved to other city and she raised the baby.
And she wasn't married?
No. And my cousin went back and he wanted to organize to kidnap the child. He didn't want to give by the Putin. So the Polish underground found out there was a cousin left. This is his brother's child was. And then from her mother's side, there was an uncle left and an aunt. Was four people left in all.
From your family? Husband,
from the mother, from the family of the mother who gave the child away.
Okay.
So they went, they were living in a house, they rented a room or something for. And
all four of them?
Yeah. To work to get the baby back. So couldn't get it back by with money, with nothing. So my cousin is down and they're going to come and kidnap the child. So they found out, Poles, and they told this to the Polish underground. In the nighttime they came and they killed two people out from the family. My uncle and aunt, after the war, because they want to kidnap the child. So since my cousin found out what happened, he gave up. But still, when they emigrated, when this Poland city went away to Warsaw, he tried to, patience with her. He went there and he talked with the girl and told her he wants to see his niece. Then the niece said, Polish, how come I look like them gentlemen, that lynch gentleman?
Because the other people were blonde, is it?
Blonde. She was exactly looking like cousin. I got pictures I got.
Yes.
And then they opened the car, they told her. But she didn't want to leave her mother. A child 6 weeks, tell her this is not my mother. Tell Gabriel that you're not his mother.
How old was she, 6 years old?
She was 39. She was born in 1940.
Yeah.
This was 45.
So she was about 6 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted to stay with her mother.
Yeah. She said, I will go to meet you only with my mother. And the mother said, well, I'm going to go. I speak only Polish. She didn't want to go. But they were in touch. My cousin emigrated to Israel, and they were in touch. She sent a present only. She raised a son. She married. She raised a son, which my cousin sent to medical school. She lives in Poland.
She still lives in Poland now.
Yeah.
But your cousin?
No, my cousin died. He died of cancer just recently.
Are you in touch with this person?
Not special. She knows about, but she, you know, writes Polish. And she does know English. I can write Polish, perfect. But she knows about.
Okay, now let's go back to when you were playing nurse in this play.
Yeah.
And you then decided to leave, or when did you decide to leave?
When I played, when I was a nurse, worked in the hospital, finally, you know, this is it. We got to get out, you know, we got this. Why did we get out? I would have stayed in Poland longer. There was also, you know, the Gemeinde, Jewish Gemeinde.
And where was this?
In Częstochowa.
Yes.
There were a lot of Jewish people which used to live in Częstochowa that came back. There was, I don't know how many Jews. They killed, the Poles made a pogrom, and they killed a pregnant woman with her husband. So they want us to go see it from the Yiddish Gemeinde. When we went to see this, after we saw that all of us came together, we have to leave this bloody earth. We got to get out of here. After what we saw, that woman was pregnant in time, and her husband both dead. For what? You want to stay in the Polish bloody earth? No. So we went underground. Somebody who knew the cross the border from Germany to the American zone. In the night time, that guard who took us across the border said we were about 12 people, then there were some more people came to cross the border. We were in a guest house. We were overnight, we were supposed to go nighttime across the guard, the Russian guard.
Were you in a guest house, which is a guest house?
In Częstochowa.
Okay.
And in nighttime,
and the person who was taking you was a Pole?
No, Jewish man. He had a friend, the Russian guard was his friend. And he got some money paid, he gave him, everybody gave him something, and he did us a favor, and he took us across. So in the middle of the night, we were supposed to go out. So he said we should form a chain, a human chain, holding to a forest. You go in the nighttime, there's trees a lot. Polish forest, I think. So we go.
And you held hands.
Held hands by, I don't know, maybe it was about 30 people together, which they came in and he gave everybody a hand, come to go. So what happens? Three people, me included, tore off the chain. They tore off the chain. At night time, I fell down from my hill, down the ground. And I fell down, I hurt myself, and I started mourning. And I heard somebody else mourning. I said in Yiddish, like Polish, who is this? And I heard a very familiar voice. This man, I know, he was with us in the group. He fell down too. Of course, he got stuck in the, he shouldn't talk, shouldn't say nothing. He had to go to the trees with a chain. So I fell down that mountain, that hill, and got really bruised. So I said it was just two of us fell down. And then later, another two came back in the guest house. They also got lost. In the morning, that man who crossed us the border, he was in the army, in the Russian, he had friends from Russia, he knew who was going to be the guard at night time, you know, whatever. And he came over, he said, where is Rose, where is Harold, another guard? He got to go back to get us.
Did he find you?
He knew that the only place he can go is back to the guest house, So he came and picked us up.
Yes.
We went across to Germany, were in Erfurt, and other little cities.
What was the first German town that you came to?
It was Erfurt.
Yes. And we spell that E-H-R-F-U-R-T.
E-R-F-U-R-T, Erfurt.
Mm-hmm.
Another city, I don't remember another city, too. And from there, we got to Frankfurt am Main, to Salzheim.
Salzheim, yes, we spell that S-A-L.
Z, Salzheim, German, A.
It's S-A-L-Z-H-E-I-M.
German, Salzheim.
Okay.
We came to Salzheim, and there was a DP camp.
Yes.
For this place first.
And this was near Frankfurt am Main.
Yes, near Frankfurt am Main. So we wanted the DP camp over there. We had kitchen supported from joint. They gave us our food. They gave us immigration, you know, rules. Everybody wants to go to Israel. They wanted most people to go to Israel to the Haganah, to fight for liberating Israel. A lot of people went to Israel. And I met my husband when we married, and I had a son.
And that was Mr. Sigmund?
Yeah, our father.
And he also was a DP camp person?
He was a liberated in Buchenwald. I didn't know him before.
I see.
I met him in DP camp.
And was he in Buchenwald all
he
the time?
He was in Buchenwald, oh yeah.
Yes.
He was very distraught. I still got it. So I looked for it, probably in the garage somewhere. And I met him in the DP camp. After this, you know, Padzolki General Eisenhower came in to look us over, you know, the survivors, the DP camp, and they decided we shouldn't live in barrack. Well, the city Hex, the Saltheim was built just for Nazis who worked Hex for the IG Farben company.
Yes.
And they all had to give up their homes for the DP people, to the immigrants.
Right. What is it when you say Hearst? Is that part of Frankfurt? Hearst?
Hex. Yeah, it's also before Frankfurt, a little.
It's not Saltheim, though. It's another place?
Saltheim is near Hex. Had the IG Farben.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They make Cyclone B there, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So you've met your husband?
Yeah, I met him in the DP camp.
Yes.
And we married, and we had
You married in the DP camp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long were you in that camp?
In the camp, we emigrated in 19. We were in the camp a couple years, then we moved to Frankfurt. Because the camp, people were emigrating all over. Some went to Israel, went away. Some want to go to the United States. We wanted to go to the United States.
Yes.
So we moved out from the DP camp, from the houses. And we were, you know, in Frankfurt am I living.
And where did you live in Frankfurt? Also in a DP camp?
No. We rented and we were supported by joint. They gave us support.
And you had an apartment?
We had an apartment, one room, you know.
Yes.
And we registered to the United States to come to...
Did you have to come to the States on your Polish quota?
I don't know.
How long did you have to
wait? No, I don't think so, Polish.
No?
We would come from Germany.
Yeah, but you were Polish.
I think if you were German. Well, I really don't know this.
You don't remember? How long did you have to wait till you could come to the United States?
About 2 years.
2 years. And the joint helped your immigration?
Joint gave us... when we came down on the ship, he gave us a pin, like, you know, joint, like we belong to.
That was when you landed here. Now, while you were in Frankfurt, did you do anything? Did you work, or you just stayed?
No, we were supported by the joint. We got support, you know.
Yes.
And a couple of years we were there, we were supported.
And when you came to the States, did you have relatives
here? Yeah, those Germans gave us with a good machung. I got about $1,500, and my husband got $1,500.
When you came here or when you were still there?
Germany, yes. I don't remember why my husband took care of everything.
Yes.
It was just for paying something. After I came here, then I applied for the good machung.
I see. Also from Germany?
Yeah.
Even though you were Polish?
Yeah, I get from Germany.
Yeah.
I get from Germany with a good marriage every month.
Mm-hmm.
My husband didn't live together. He applied.
Yes.
Meanwhile, while he applied, he developed cancer.
Oh.
And they sent me his bulk. His $7,000, they sent me the check.
I see.
He couldn't live. He didn't live together.
I see.
So this was, he died 66.
I see.
So he got the whole Nachtalum for the whole time
they
gave the widow.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to backtrack a little bit and ask you, were you ever aware or in contact with any resistance group, Jewish or non-Jewish? Now, you spoke about the underground that helped you cross the border from...
He was in the underground. He was in the Russian army, and my cousin, too. But I had contact with
you. You did not have contact.
No.
Did you feel strengthened in your experiences? In other words, your strength to survive, was it through religious faith or an ideology or Zionism or socialism or just hope in a speedy Allied victory? What kept you going?
I just hoped. Sometimes I just hoped. I didn't hope at all. Sometimes I was just finished. I was thinking nothing clear. I was thinking I had enough. But then I saw the reality, I saw real life, you know, that we're free, we can go out, I can eat, I see food, I see people. Then I was thinking, not by Bund, but they were wrong, we have to have a homeland. You know, I said, if we would have a Israel, we would have somebody talk for us, to raise voice, to care for us.
Right.
Maybe Hitler wouldn't take 6 million lives away.
Did you want to go to Palestine at
I
the
wanted,
time?
My husband wanted. I think I got pregnant and they don't want to take me.
Oh.
After I married, about 10 months later, when they were taking people to sign up for Israel, I found out I'm pregnant. So they didn't need the pregnant woman there in the war.
But
they wouldn't accept. But later I could have gone. Then we, you know, you got registered to go to the United States.
Who didn't want to take you? The Palestinians?
No, the organization which registered people to go to Israel.
Did you have relatives in the United States?
In the United States, no.
No.
I had a cousin, not the United States.
No.
And the cousin who survived, only two people survived. A cousin and a sister.
Out of how many people?
Oh, a family. Can you imagine, my grandfather had 7 daughters. 2 sons, all of them had children.
So the
large family, 100, maybe more.
Yes. Did you ever, during your suffering, think of escaping?
There was no way. The ones, like a couple escaped. Once they caught them, the boat got hanged.
Yes.
In the middle of the camp. They were not impossible to escape. I had a cousin, the same cousin. She was camped with me once. She was also dark-haired, beautiful girl. There was a Pole who came to work. He was like an engineer, and he fell in love with her. He wasn't in the camp. He went home. He wanted to marry. I wanted to take her out.
He was not Jewish?
No. He brought clothes. He wanted to dress her like a Pole and take her out from the camp.
Yeah.
She said, no. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill you too. But he brought her food. He brought the bread, and he wasn't allowed to bring her, so he gave it at the time. But, you know, she didn't want it. She immigrated to Israel. She's in Israel still.
I see. Can you tell me anything about the education of Jewish children before 1941 and later in the camps or where you were? Were there children, and did they have any kind of learning?
What was my age? It was not a small
kid. And you had no kind of learning possibilities?
We went to school, went course, only in public school. Then we had to even went to night schools.
But in the camp,
no,
nothing?
No.
Did you go to night school after you were liberated, did you say?
Before I had a baby, I went to school, sometimes, you know, night schools, and I learned, you know. But the only thing, the public school, what I learned in Poland.
I see. Do you remember when you first heard that Jews were being murdered or were being gassed, and did you believe all of that?
When I was before the first roundup, we heard that there was cattle wagons waiting for people.
Yes.
I saw my father put on a white robe like prior. If they were praying, they went to the synagogue and praying.
He put on a talit?
Not a talit, just a whole, like, to put on the people when they die.
Oh, yes, a sagana.
In the white bearded men. And they all pray. You pray. What do? You pray to God. And they prayed, and they couldn't believe that they're going to take just people for no reason and kill them. Maybe they're going to take us to some other country, or they didn't believe. Even you. Then they found out, they said, you know, some people just fell on the guard. This I saw, which he couldn't attack with the bare hand, he just fell on him. He got shot. A lot of people got shot for this. There was no ammunition.
In other words, they tried to fight the guard.
One committed suicide in front of the German, you know, the Germans coming in, he hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
few of them committed suicide.
And your father saw this, you say?
My father? I don't know if he saw, but I saw it.
You saw it?
Yes.
And this happened on the cemetery?
Not on the cemetery, the homes. They came in the homes.
I see. And
they came in the homes, and the man said that he knew he got the gun, the whole bag. What are you going to do with it? He attacked him.
Uh-huh.
Self-defense, but there was no hope.
Yes, I understand. How many people do you think were in the camp with you?
In the camp, or in my work, or a couple hundred, or I don't know.
How many were in your barracks?
In the factory, I don't know. There was a lot of people there, a couple thousand.
Really? And in your barracks?
In my barracks were 200.
I see. Were there ever religious services or secret prayers?
Yeah, secret, yeah.
Yeah?
Even these people who was took out, select to die, there's a Kaddish, even a prayer book, and then...
Well, did you, at the time when it was maybe Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Pesach, were there secret services going on?
They were praying Passover, Seder, private water. I went away before Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks later, the town was liquidated. 2 weeks later, took the whole city out.
Which city was that?
Shidlovyets, my hometown.
And was there a figure in the camp who helped you and others to hold on, to survive, to lift your spirit?
No.
There was nobody like that.
There was no spirit, he just lived like animals.
And most of the people in your group were young people like yourselves, teenagers?
Teenagers, 17, 18, 20s.
You were among the youngest, is that correct?
I'm among maybe a year or two younger, but this is the last generation.
And the Russians were your liberators. How long did it take you to recover physically?
Oh, it was just so like, you know, we didn't know what's happening. I couldn't believe what is happening. What's happening? We're shooting, we see Russian, the camp is over, we ran. It was all like a nightmare, you know.
But when you walked out, you were in good physical condition?
Skin and bone, weak.
And how long did it take you to get
a
little...
When I started eating, I regained my energy and I started eating.
Did you have a problem with food at first?
First, we had to go to Poles and tell them that we are hungry.
I don't mean it that way. Some people couldn't digest the food because they were so undernourished and they got sick from it. Did you have that problem?
We didn't get rich food. We got a piece of bread, a piece of Poles didn't have too much. Mm-hmm. There was a war going on. She would give us a potato a little bit, just to keep you going a little bit. Not a good meal, like you sit down and eat, isn't that?
Yes.
Till we start work in the hospital, slowly, the Russians, you know, they gave us barley, they eat grain a lot. The millet, all the kasha millet.
Yes, grains.
Yeah.
And tell me, when did you arrive in the United States?
I arrived in 1950, February 2nd.
February 2nd, 1950. And what happened then? Did you find work?
I had a baby. My son was a year old.
Yes.
My husband got a job from the Jewish Federation.
Mm-hmm. Did you come to Philadelphia away?
No, we came to New York, to Pittsburgh we came.
Oh.
The Jewish Federation took over. They gave us food and need, everything. And they found a job for my husband to work.
And how long did you live in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, we lived 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And then?
No, yeah, for 50, yeah, three years. After Pittsburgh, my husband had two brothers, a twin. They survived concentration camp. So they each found each other. So there were three brothers. We had a little money that we got from Germany. They got money, they got 3,000, we got 3,000. We put down a little money and we bought a chicken farm in Rhineland, New Jersey.
Oh.
We moved. Rhineland, Jersey, but most, a lot of people from the DP came over because he didn't know the language. It was the best thing after, you know, farm. You don't have to talk to the chickens. So we bought a farm. Unfortunately, there were doctors, lawyers, committed suicide. You had to work to feed the chickens. Couldn't make a living. And my husband was a very brilliant man. He said, this is going to be, I'm going to work to feed chickens. That's when I came to America. They took the coops, chicken coops, apart. You know, if we sold the lot, if we would have money, we could develop it. It was close to the city. Since we didn't have enough money.
He took the chicken coops apart and you sold the land?
Sold the land with the little house, a little house.
Okay.
We sold it and we got our money out. We gave the brothers, he gave his brothers the part that they gave us, took the money, came to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia bought a store, beer distribution. The beer distribution. It would make a nice living. 29th Street in North Philadelphia. One hold up, second hold up, third hold up, three time hold up, they took away the money every time. We gave it away for almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work, sold the business, gave it away, I went to work. My husband was looking for something else to make a living. Bought another store also in West Philadelphia. Then he got sick. I was 2 years in that store, he got sick, he developed cancer, the lung, kidney. and I was left with two small children, 12 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, you know, we applied in Germany. They gave us the Wiedergutmachung, monthly pension.
Restitution.
That helped. They call it Wiedergutmachung.
Yes, they do.
Wiedergutmachung
is spelled WIEDERMACHUNG.
Wiedergutmachung.
Yes, it means restitution.
Yeah, so anyhow, after he died, for 4 years, I married my future husband. And he was a real chemical engineer. He's a chemical engineer. He worked for TRW.
TRW?
Yeah.
I see. And where was that? In California?
Los Angeles.
I see. You moved to Los Angeles then.
So I moved to Los Angeles, partly. I took some... and I lived there for 19 years. Came back, shipboard, three children. Till my daughter gave birth to first grandson. So this is it. I'm tired. I want to stay here. I have my roots here. I have a grandchild. I live to see a grandchild. My children didn't have grandparents. They didn't have nobody. I want my children to have a grandmother.
Your
they don't have a grandfather.
Yes.
I want my grandchildren to have a grandparent. At least one.
Yeah. So you came back to Philadelphia when?
I came back, you know, when he was born. Well, I keep going back and forth, but finally I came back. It's almost about 8 years.
I see.
But my husband came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
A couple of years since he was there, but he came twice.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
But he has a son with him, the same age, 47 years, like my son.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to leave his son there. He doesn't want to leave his son alone.
So you're having a long distance relationship.
A happy marriage. If you call it marriage, I don't know. I'm legally married still.
Yeah. You've had a hard life.
I have a hard life still.
But I want to thank you very much for...
You see, my daughter's coming here.
Sharing all your experiences with us, and I want you to know how valuable your testimony is, and I hope I didn't cause you too much pain in having to recall it.
She asked me.
This is the interviewer, Lisa Lowe. I want to add some things that Mrs. Burke had forgotten to mention. She called me on November 14th, 2 days after this interview, to tell me the following: that when the Germans occupied the town, the Germans and the Polish police burned the synagogues in the town. There was no running water, and the whole town had to pass buckets to put out the fires at the big and the small Orthodox synagogue. Also, during the war, people prayed at private homes with a minyan. The synagogue was burned out entirely. Everything was burned, and the silver ornaments of the Torah disappeared. The synagogue was very old and was built a long time ago. In addition, she wanted to mention that her son, Harry Sigmund, was born on February 2nd, 1949, and that he was an electrician at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. That's all.